This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be a bright sunshiny day.
My buddy Big Ed has a little bit of a sense of humor, which I didn't catch right away. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I'm back from cataract surgery.
And you totally flustered on that one. You didn't.
I blew it.
You looked at me like, what the hell are you playing this song for?
I thought we were going to play. He pulled a quickie. I thought we were going to play maybe a patriotic song because it's Flag Day. And I know you know about it because our good friends that do Good Morning Clearwater were talking about it.
Yeah, we spent 2 hours on that.
Yeah.
We know who made the flag.
So,
who's sewing the flag.
Good old Betsy Ross. Mm. We have to remember Betsy. So, in a word, Ed, I feel great.
Yeah,
there wasn't 1 ounce of soreness or pain. It's like buying a candy bar. You go in, they put you in a chair. They don't take off your clothes. I mean, you just go in, you sit down. They give you a little anesthesia so that you don't give a damn.
So basically, it puts you in twilight. Is that what they do?
Put you in twilight, mm-hmm. But you got to be awake because you got to keep your eye open and all that kind of thing. And honestly, it must have taken him 5 minutes. Now, the anesthesia kind of warps your sense of time, but it seemed like I was in and out of there. Maybe 10 at most. And you got to wear dark glasses outside. I got drops galore. Couldn't even get in the shower or wash your hair. You didn't want any water whatsoever, any kind of foreign thing other than eye drops to come in contact with what you've got, a new lens.
Right.
They have replaced your natural lens.
So is this something they implant or just kind of?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They actually put it in and implant it.
See, I don't know if I can handle anybody touching my eyes.
I know. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
A scary thought, but.
Before you knew it, you were in and out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I must say, we will see the results, whether or not. In my particular case, I got another issue with that eye, but feel good.
Yeah.
Everything great. So thank you very much. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jarrett Stepan, by the way. He's the author of The War on History, The Effort to Rewrite America's Past. And we're going to talk about how schools like Princeton University are dropping their standards. In the name of equity, it is the scariest thing in the world. The scariest thing in the world for people that know what college is really supposed to be all about. So stay tuned for that. Also, Biden stumbling around Europe right now, preparing to confront Soviet President Vladimir Putin. After his meeting with the leaders of the G7, we're going to get some thoughts about that and other things from the proprietor of the barber pole, His Highness Andrew Sorese, a little bit later in the show. Also, we're going to take a look at some vulnerable Republicans in next year's congressional elections, all because they voted to impeach Donald Trump. And so we're going to tell you some of the people that are running against them are trying to, as they call it, primary them. Stay tuned for that. Also, you may remember back a few programs ago, we did the top 10 best states for military retirees. we are going to give you the top 10 worst states to retire in if you're in the military or were in the military. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Great, great haircut. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. So Biden is over there, I guess. I don't know what time he'll be talking with Putin. As you know, they're like 8-9 hours ahead of us. Mm-hmm. So we're talking like it's already evening there. But he's going to be talking with Putin, and there's a lot of buildup on what he's going to tell Putin. He will not do a press conference with Putin. He's going to do his own press conference following his meeting with Putin.
We're going to find out what kind of food he ate.
You know what? I don't think I would eat any food.
Well, I'm sure
in Russia, unless I had either my taster with me, or they just brought my food.
I'm sure that on Air Force One, everything
they do. If you think he's going to touch any Russian food,
I wonder if Putin's going to remember the things Biden called him a bully, called him a murderer. Remember those things?
Oh, he's called him everything. It's not going to be pleasant. Would be kind of interesting to be a fly on the wall listening to these two talk.
I'd laugh if Putin came out with a set of boxing gloves.
Well, here's what I would do if I were Putin. I would not bring an interpreter in there for Biden and speak in Russian to him. That'll really screw
him really
up. That would really
confuse him.
But, you know, they are important talks with Putin. And there is all this hacking going on. And now we're all worried about pipelines being hacked, grids being hacked, technology companies being hacked. It's scary. And now, I don't know what we're going to do. Biden, you know, is such, for me, he's such a marshmallow that I don't know that he... I think with Trump carried some weight. I think when you spoke with Trump, you were a little bit more concerned about what he might do. If he thought you were doing something wrong.
The punishment did not fit the crime on the latest hack with the pipeline. They did get their money back eventually, but this should have been deemed a terrorist attack.
It was.
And it should be, they should be trying to find out exactly who did it and put him to the front of the line through the Justice Department, and it'd be something like a minimum of 25 years in prison.
Well, you know they are trying. We can't fault them too much at this point. They were, like you said, able to get back most of the money. We were caught basically with our
pants down
mm-hmm. on this, and it's going to happen again unless we mm-hmm. really get strict. I agree with you. If I were a president, I would treat it like a terrorist attack. And frankly, I would assemble a group of mercenaries if they would be so willing to go over there and find them and get rid of them.
That's because we discussed it before. If it is a group that is not hired by the Russian government, it's just some hackers over there that happen to live
allowed.
In there.
They're allowed.
Are U.S. personnel allowed to go in to Russia and investigate those people and find them and get
them? That's why I mentioned hire mercenaries to infiltrate. I think we ought to take them out. Because you know the Russian government will never claim responsibility.
Right.
They will also not allow us to officially go in there and do anything. So that's why I was talking about it that way. You know, really, really get in there and do something. Mm-hmm. Remember, you might not, but back in the 70s, after the 19, I think it was the 72 Olympics, where those Israelis were killed by those terrorists. Did you know that the Israeli government basically hired a bunch of mercenaries to go in and find every single one of those terrorists and kill them?
Wow.
And they did. They went. I think they killed every one of them, if not most all of them.
Kind of hasn't happened since, has it?
No, not as much, because the Israelis don't waste any.
Yeah, they don't play.
They don't screw around.
Yeah, they don't play around.
Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to standards in schools like Princeton University. What is happening to their standards?
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Flag Day. Get your flags out. I know you had Memorial Day not too long ago. So the there's no dust on your flag. Get it back out there. Let's be patriotic. I think I am seeing more people at... I'll give you an example. I was watching the... Lightning hockey game with a bunch of people at Norton's. You know Norton's, the sports bar. Mm-hmm. Everybody stood for the national anthem in that building.
That's good.
Did the national anthem.
Yeah.
I think there is more patriotism going on right now. I'm just going to say, from what I have seen, there are more people that are remembering or somehow feeling stronger about our country than it's been for a while.
Yeah, because it's been attacked lately.
Exactly.
You know, the national anthem, probably the one thing that defines this country is our national anthem, our flag, and what we stand for.
Yeah, our culture and our standards are being attacked.
We got people that are taking a knee and turning their backs and idiots burning flags in the middle of the street.
Exactly
and
right.
And going unpunished. So,
good point. And it's invaded our colleges to some extent. We've got Jarrett Stepman joining us. He's the author of a book called The War on History, The Effort to Rewrite America's Past. And we're going to talk with him a little bit about, particularly about Princeton University. What is going on there? They are dropping. I mean, you always thought of Princeton as one of the truly great educational institutions in this country, an Ivy League school, right up there with Harvard, I thought. But now we got an issue. Jarrett, welcome to Freedom Works.
Oh, thank you very much. It's good to be on.
It's our pleasure to have you on. I think you are, I mean, just the title of your book, I agree with. The Effort to Rewrite America's Past. And I think maybe to some extent it seeps into this issue we're going to talk about. But let's talk a little bit about what is going on at Princeton University.
Yeah, it's quite an incredible thing that Princeton University has decided to drop standards of Greek and Latin from classics majors on the classics track. In the past, classics majors had to have an understanding of Greek and Latin so that they could read the original text, of course, of the famous classics, Plutarch, Livy. If you wanted to read these, you had to have some understanding of those ancient languages. Princeton has decided to drop those standards in the name of equity, saying essentially that they want to broaden the number of students who come to the school, that they shouldn't have to learn those languages, that this is done in the name, in part, for racial equity. They're saying that essentially that minority students may feel discriminated against if they have to learn these languages, and that this is a bad thing. They can't encourage students to actually go to the school. I think it both signals that the standards themselves are declining. Learning the Greek and Latin used to be something that was a requirement for entry into the school back in the day, 100 years ago. But it's also, I think, signaling to minority students, essentially, that saying essentially that, well, hey, we don't think that you can actually uphold these standards that we had. We're going to simply drop them. I think it sends a bad message all around. It shows that many, even our most elite institutions, are dropping their standards very quickly, especially in the name of equity.
Yeah, they're dumbing down our standards is what they're doing. I mean, it's not just the universities. We've seen the dumbing down occurring at every level. There was a time when our country was considered probably number one overall. When people thought about getting a good education, they thought about going to the United States to get it, especially in our universities and our colleges. And we graduated the best, and they went on to be the best in our country, you know, the best doctors, and the best everything else. But no longer is that the case. We have dropped and dropped and dropped. Everybody can see that. And I guess Princeton is just an example of this, would you say?
I would say they're absolutely an example of this, and I think it's amazing. You know, just talking about the classics in general, it used to be a basic requirement at even the grammar school level at the time of the founding. If you wanted to be an educated, virtuous citizen, you had to have some understanding of deeper history in the classics. You couldn't even enter any college, not just an Ivy League college, without some understanding of those languages, too. And I think the real problem here is that we expect less and less of America's young students. And, of course, we have more and more who go to college. But what does that actually mean these days? I mean, we pump an enormous amount of many times taxpayer money into our college education system at the same time. The standards are decreasing across the country, even at the top. I think there's this very serious problem there. And I think it, unfortunately, a college degree increasingly simply is the kind of class marker, but it does not actually indicate that one actually has an elite education. I think that's a deep problem for the United States. I think it's slipping very quickly, and it's being done often, again, in the name of racial equity, but I think it hurts everybody. I think all Americans are hurt when our education standards decline to the point of, you know, not actually being elite in places that are said to be elite.
Right, you are. And, of course, our standards have not just declined recently, and you in fact, cite all the way back to 1892, when at that time you were required to go to a school like Harvard. You were required to take a language like Greek or Latin, even if you were not going into a classics study. You just had to have taken it. And I've seen some of the questions on tests given to grade school students back in the late 1800s that college students could not pass today. You know, they had to do with history and the humanities and things like that. They would be, pardon the pun, they would be Greek to students today. I'm not kidding.
It's
scary.
Actually incredible. It's incredible the decline. I mean, think about this. I mean, to have today a major in the classics, you don't have to know Greek and Latin to even pass through the major at a time when 100 years ago, now more than 100 years ago, you had to know Greek and Latin just to get into the school.
Right.
I mean, that's how far we've gotten in 100 years and how far we're continuing to go. It continues to decline. I think that a lot of Americans around the country, look, we've had this going on for many generations, decline in education across the board. I think a lot of people are looking at this system, especially when you look at the lower levels, the K-12 system in public schools in America. And I think there are a lot of Americans, especially during the pandemic, who now have a lot of frustrations. They don't think that their children are getting a proper education, that there's a lot of indoctrination happening at schools rather than teaching students to be virtuous citizens of a republic. And I do hope there's going to be a reckoning. I mean, this can't continue. If the United States is to be, you know, the global superpower, and to be at the top, we can't have this kind of low standard of education. We just can't.
We're talking with Jarrett Stepman. We are talking about standards being dropped in schools like Princeton University in the name of so-called equity so that we can get everybody into the pool. Everybody's welcome. Come on in, you know. We're going to let our standards go. By the way, he's the author of a book called The War on History, The Effort to Rewrite America's Past. And I think they blend in together, Jarrett. the idea of erasing some of our history and trying to, as I say, you know, make everything equal. You know, let's in the name of equality. Well, that's not what life is all about. Life is all about personal responsibility, striving to do the best that you can, improving yourself. I mean, the greatest satisfaction, I think, in a life is a life well lived with responsibility and striving to do your best. Now, few of us get 100% that way, but it's just in our nature to want to do that. And I think this goes against it.
It really does. And even saying that you support those things may even get you called called a racist. I mean, that's how things have fallen. And I think there is a war on history in the past. I think it's an attempt to control the narrative about what America should be. I think if students spent more time learning about the past instead of destroying it, I think they'll be helped very much in their lives, not just the triumphs of the past, but the mistakes as well. I think that's incredibly important to having a virtuous, educated citizenry. I mean, a self-governing people. These things are necessary. They should be required. And especially when you look back at the standards that of education that Americans had across the board of all levels of society, you know, we think of ourselves today as better than those who came before us, that we are more progressive, that we are more advanced. And then you look back and you say, well, you know, those people way back then, a lot of the good things that we have are because of those people who addressed the challenges and the faults of their own day. They fixed them with an understanding of the things that came before them. I think what's happening is that a lot of young Americans simply have no concept of anything before they were born. And I think that when they do, it's often very much warped by those who've indoctrinated them by things like critical race theory and other ideologies. And I think that is creating a crisis for this country. You talk about the decline in informed patriotism in this country. That's what's going to happen as we get rid of standards and we erase our history. It's a terrible thing.
One of the people who sees this and speaks out against it, he must have tenure, John McWhorter over at Columbia University. He's been one of the, as you call it, one of the most relentless critics of these new woke standards. Columbia is an Ivy League school. But he says how Ivy League schools are dropping these kinds of requirements. So we do have some people that are willing to tell us the truth, but it seems to me in the educational community, and these are the people that know best, I would think, unless they are so completely surrounded with this new woke ideology that they really do kind of lose their way. What do you think?
You know, I think there are a few brave people who stand up and say that this is just wrong, like John McWhorter, and I think he's absolutely right. I mean, he talks about, you know, yes, learning Greek and Latin is very difficult, but it's important that we inculcate the values in young people that sometimes you have to do things that are difficult. You have to strive for something. That will make you a better person. That will make you a more educated person, and it'll build character. These used to be things that were just common knowledge. I think that there's a lot of groupthink that happens at these institutions. I think many people are afraid to say anything and buck the trend. I think that that's what we're seeing in institutions across this country. And I do and a change in response to, I think, what has been the corruption of so many institutions, the declining standards.
Well, Jared, it's been a real pleasure. Let me ask you real quickly, finally, is there any hope and are there any schools that we can point to anymore in our country that we can say, look, here's an example of a school that's not bucking this, that's bucking this kind of equity thing. You know, they are marching on. I imagine there's a few of them, but I suspect it's seeping into almost all of them.
I think there is hope. You can see that now. I think really what's turning into rebellion against critical race theory in our schools by parents, engaged parents who paid a lot of attention during the pandemic. They're seeing what their kids are getting in classrooms, and they're unhappy. I think there's a real rebellion by just the good parents and concerned citizens of this country against it. I think that's an incredibly heartening thing. I think we're going to see a lot more of this. I think we're going to see a lot of states that outright ban critical race theory teaching in schools. And I do have hope. There are some colleges, especially one that I didn't attend, but I kind of wish I did, Hillsdale University in Michigan, that does teach the classics in the way that the founding generation would have understood, that actually turning out students who know our history, appreciate our history, and have a deeper knowledge. So I think, and I do hope there will be more schools in the model of Hillsdale College and others that return us to a better way of looking toward the future. We don't want to return to the past. We just want that better way of looking to the future that I think previous generations had. And I do have a lot of hope that there is a turnaround happening right now. I can feel it. You can see it. You can see the changes. You can see the anger from a lot of Americans who think that something has gone badly wrong.
Well, a shout out to Hillsdale College, and thank you so much, Jarrett. Jarrett Stepman, author of The War on History, The Effort to Rewrite America's Past. I urge you to go out there and find that book. Thanks so much, Jarrett. Look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you very much.
All right. Jarrett Stepman, very, very interesting, passionate guy, sounds like to me. Going to take our break when we come back. President Biden preparing to stand in front of Vladimir Putin. Let's find out what he might say to him. We're going to get some thoughts about that, some other things, from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on a Monday, Flag Day, June the 14th. Thank you so very much for being with us. We are here Monday, Tuesday, and Fridays, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, understandable, you got things to do. Thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to our show anytime you would like. Just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button. You'll find the shows there. Pick one of the shows you like to hear, and away you go. Well, so Joe Biden, I just can imagine this this conference with Vladimir Putin. He's already kind of screwed up. He fumbled during a press conference yesterday. He meant to say Syria, but he brings up Libya while discussing humanitarian aid to countries torn apart by civil war. He might have Libya on the mind because, if you remember, he was the vice president when we let everything go to hell in a handbasket with our ambassador and those other three gentlemen. On September the 11th, it was the anniversary of 9/11, back when Obama was the president. The gaffe-prone Biden discussing possibly working with Russia in providing vital assistance to Libya, a population that's in real trouble. Yeah, those Libyans, we gotta figure out a way to get more money over to them. Then they can go out and maybe shoot some more of our politicos over there. Anyway, we've got the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, I'm sure you're absolutely delighted that President Biden is going to confront Vladimir Putin.
I think you got it the other way backwards. I think Putin's going to with Biden. Yeah, he's
In fact, didn't he call Biden a career politician? Wasn't that what he called him?
What he called him, a career politician.
Yeah.
You got to remember, too, Biden called him a murderer, a criminal.
Which is true. It's true. I'll give Biden points for that, actually.
Yeah, well, we'll see how many points he walks away with. Because, you know, between Russia and the United States, it's not good.
Right, you're right about that.
It's not good at all. And I think Biden's just going to make things worse. Everything he touches turns to poop.
Who was it that was a former Secretary of State that said some years ago, he said, every single issue Biden's been involved in, he was on the wrong side of it.
He still
every is. Single one. You know, he was against going after Osama bin Laden.
Yep. You know, instead of Putin calling him a career politician, he should have called him a career screw up.
Yes. He probably felt like saying that.
You know, Paul, what's amazing, I got a feeling that things might be going down somewhere because did you hear about Christopher Sang committing suicide? You know who?
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead and tell us about it, but I did hear about him.
Christopher Sang, he's the reporter that reported on Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch meeting on the tarmac.
Correct. Back,
You know, the meeting wasn't about golfing and grandchildren. It was about Hillary's emails and everything else.
That's correct.
Now, something must be going down for them to murder this guy.
Oh, you think it was murder?
Oh, come on.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't think it was murder. I thought it was a suit.
Every time a reporter comes out with a story about something like this, it seems when something might be getting close, they die.
Well, now, wait. That is a little bit of an exaggeration, and there is no evidence that this guy might have been a deeply troubled man, Andrew. You do not know that he was murdered. You do not know that he was murdered.
Was Epstein a very troubled man, too?
Yeah. But, okay, let's remind everybody that Loretta Lynch was the attorney general who was not to have a dog in the fight when it came to that whole fiasco with Hillary Clinton and her emails and the investigation. By the way, that was a joke. Hillary Clinton wasn't even put under oath, you know?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
It was a cover-up. So they didn't even need Clinton to show up on the tarmac and suggest, you know, but I'm sure he did. So anyway, this guy goes ahead and he writes about it. But that was many years, that, you know, how many years ago was that now, right? It was about, what, 5-6 years ago now?
Of course it was.
So now he commits suicide. Are you trying to link the two of them? And why would they kill him 5 or 6 years later?
Well, you know, maybe they didn't think things would come out with a Russian investigation and all this other stuff, Paul. Mm-hmm. And they figured they'd let it go on and go on and see if it gets buried. But I think we're getting close to a lot of truth coming out with a lot of different things, Paul. I'm reading what's going on in Arizona.
Now, I was just going to ask you about that. Is anything going on? And why is it still taking so long? This is going to equal the Durham report for never showing up with the results.
This is what I'm saying. Things could be coming to a point here, Paul, with certain things going on. And, you know, it's time to get rid of some witnesses.
Ah. Deep six them.
Pardon?
Just deep six them.
I didn't understand you there.
Deep.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Deep six. In other words, kill them.
Yeah, kill them. That's right.
Oh, boy.
Well, things are going down here, Paul. You know, there's a lot going on we don't hear about. You know, Biden, he censored a lot of the news. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess there's not many things left in Arizona to count. And from what I'm understanding, there's been a lot of hanky-panky going on there.
Well, now, what about the organization that's actually doing the audit? Do you have faith in that organization? Is anything?
Well, I got more faith in them than the ones that did the counting during the election.
Okay, and will they not also be going to some of the other states? I have a friend we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. There's like 14 other states checked out what was going on in Arizona.
Yeah. And there are going to be audits of other, are there not? By the way, going to Arizona, they're only auditing Maricopa County, correct?
That's right, and they're finding all kinds of problems.
It just seems to me that this audit should have been over by now.
Well, you know, you're counting millions of ballots by hand.
Millions of ballots in one county?
Well, how many were there?
There weren't millions. There weren't millions of ballots.
200,000 being messed up, from what I understand.
Well, that's a goodly percentage, but I don't know that there's a million. I may be wrong. Maybe there is a million plus in Maricopa that voted.
They said they had. They said they had two pallets to go through the other day. Now, you know, pallets, the boxes are pretty good size.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is this inflation thing that's going on. This is really a tax on the middle class and the lower class. Biden talks about how he's never going to tax the middle and lower classes. And then he goes and he shuts off the Keystone Pipeline, and he spends this, a number we can't even comprehend in our brain, trillions of dollars on different things. And he wants to continue to spend trillions of dollars on other things. And then he's surprised. Are we supposed to be surprised when inflation sets in, which it has? It's clearly in here. And he's only been in there for 6 months. And we've got this inflation. That's talk about a tax. That's a tax.
Well, we're getting, Paul, he said he wasn't going to raise any taxes. He didn't say nothing about inflation, and that's taxing us.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. It's tax. Okay. It's taxing us.
The people knew what was going to happen. They knew it. That's why I still don't believe to this day 80 million people voted for this moron.
Yeah.
Because I just don't believe
you. Well, he couldn't draw flies in the parking lot when he was going around talking.
This is what I'm saying.
So it was kind of strange. I agree with you on that one. He is the dullest thing. I listened to this guy talk, and I know we shouldn't go after personal foibles because Trump had some too. This guy's the most boring thing I have ever heard. I mean, and plus I can hardly hear him. He's mumbling. There was a character in a cartoon, I think it was Dick Tracy, called Mumbles. This is Mumbles. That should be his name, President Mumbles.
Well, Paul, you know, we've got a very lame, weak president. The Europeans at their 7 summit there, they were all laughing at him. He was walking behind the pack. His wife was guiding him like a dog on a leash with a gun. I mean, they're sitting there laughing.
Now, that's kind of funny.
Because they know they're going to get this sucker to pay for everything in the United Nations again. And then he's not going to do nothing.
Talk about somebody that is more than willing to spend other people's money. It's Joe Biden. I mean, we thought we were getting some kind of a moderate. We were taking some comfort.
Who?
I'm saying in general. Okay, who was right? but you know what I'm saying. Well, I thought he might be more moderate. He claimed he was.
He's a mamaloop.
I know he is. We know that now. He can't be. He couldn't be.
Trouble right now, Paul, big time.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get better as long as this Democrat Party is in power.
U.S. consumer prices increased 5% in May. Did you know that's the biggest surge in 13 years?
That's right.
In 13 years.
Well, they bought it before.
5%. Think about it. In 1 month? Can you imagine if every month we had a surge of 5% in the cost of a product?
Well, it's going to happen. You're going to see gas. I'm predicting $4 a gallon for July.
As a matter of fact, auto drivers have certainly noticed the price of crude has jumped 46% for the year. The national average for gas is over $3.
Well, and they're trying to force you to buy electric cars is what they're doing.
You think that's part
of it?
Trying
to force you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
This is what's going on with this. And you know what? You want an electric car? Go buy them.
Yeah.
You can't buy another car on a car lot right now because of the shortage of new cars because of the computer chips coming out of Taiwan.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, used cars have shot up in their price. That's true.
Sure, they cost as much as new cars.
Yeah.
You can't get a new car. Now, you tell me why there's a shortage on computer chips coming out of Taiwan for the new cars.
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know. Is China stopping them from making them? I don't know.
Why would China? You know, China wants to make a buck, right? We've been buying like I don't know what from China.
That's what I'm saying. So who knows what's going on? I don't understand why there's a shortage.
Yeah.
Okay, but you go buy it. Try to buy a new car. You go look at their inventory. There's nothing. There's nothing on their lots, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Except a few electric cars.
Yeah, I guess there is. And guess who spends the most in gas and oil? It's all these bigwigs, these liberal bigwigs flying around the world like John Kerry and Biden and everybody else. Now, I know he's president, and he should. But then don't go bad-mouthing the fuel that gets you to all of these places.
You know, Paul, we're getting indoctrinated into socialism, but the socialism experiment is about to stop in about 2 weeks, isn't it? There's a bunch of states stopping all the unemployment that they were getting.
That's right. That's one good thing. People are
That was their trial of socialism. Now, they say 7 out of 10 Americans don't want to go back to work.
Well, there's no question about it. Try and go to a restaurant these days. I mean, most of these restaurants have not been able, I don't know most of them, but a goodly percentage of them have lost employees, and they're scrambling to find them, find replacements. Nobody wants to go back if you're getting this extra money. You got to pull the, you know, the best way to induce somebody to work is to stop giving something to them for free.
No, when they get hungry, they got to eat.
There you go.
That simple.
It really is. It's always a pleasure, Andrew, to talk with you, especially on a Monday. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow with you. And
got it.
We got more to talk about. So thank you, my friend.
You got it, Paul. You have a good day.
And the same, the same. There he goes, the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi. Great haircutting place, I'll tell you. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to take a look at some vulnerable Republicans in next year's congressional elections, all because they voted to impeach Donald Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And, you know, we got to remember, or we should make mention of the fact that we have a new prime minister after all of these years in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu has lost. He has lost. He made a speech yesterday in front of the Knesset. He says he vows he will be back. I'll be back. And the new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, he became prime minister after a 60-59 vote. Could not have been closer. Biden quickly congratulated the new prime minister. Netanyahu took a couple of shots, I think, at the current administration here as he walked out. He said that in dealing with the U.S., he said the administration in Washington asked him not to discuss our disagreement on Iran. And he said, Netanyahu said, but with all due respect, I can't do that. And so he went ahead and he talked about the fact that they have a very big divide right now between the United States and Israel on how they should handle. Remember, Iran's right next door to Israel. We're over here across the ocean. So it's kind of easy for us to tell a country like Israel, hey, why don't you just kind of ease off Iran? Well, Netanyahu has said for a long time, no, thank you. We've got to be on our guard with Iran. And Netanyahu apparently compared the attempt by the United States to return to the nuclear deal that Iran and the Obama administration set up to the decision by, he compared it to the decision by President Franklin Roosevelt during World War II not to bomb the train tracks that led to Auschwitz. And the, you know, all of those concentration camps where the Jews were murdered. So there you go. All right. As promised, I want to talk real quickly about some people that may be shaking in their boots a little bit come November of next year. 9 of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump over that January 6th attack on the Capitol are facing primary challenges. Let's go down the list of some of these Republican congressmen that may have an issue. First, Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney in Wyoming, the high-profile Republican who voted to impeach Trump, is got at least 8 primary challengers in Wyoming. I wonder if she's going to survive those Republican challenges. We'll see. Also, in South Carolina, Congressman Tom Rice, Republican. Rice is facing a bevy of pro-Trump Republicans gunning for his job. Among them, Myrtle Beach Mayor Mark McBride and State Representative William Bailey. Here's another one. This one in Washington. Jaime Herrera Butler. Jaime Herrera Butler. Butler faces challenges from at least 4 candidates, including former Green Beret Joe Kent. Then there's Illinois, where Representative Adam Kinzinger has positioned himself as one of Cheney's buddies. He got massive fundraising out of it, but he's going to be challenged as well. Then there's Dan Newhouse in Washington. Newhouse came under fire for his impeachment vote and faced calls to resign. Then there's Anthony Gonzalez in Ohio. He's facing the most well-financed challenger to date in former Trump aide Max Miller. Then there's Fred Upton of Michigan. He's a Republican up there. Upton faces a common form of retribution against the GOP representatives who voted for impeachment, censure by local parties. So these guys got a lot of trouble. They have a lot of trouble. All right. Before we do our top 10, Ed, I was berserk with sadness. We lost our game yesterday. The Lightning lost. I thought the Islanders aren't going to be as tough as Carolina.
Well, if you remember last year, they lost to the Islanders first game, too.
Okay.
So
that bodes well for us? Is that what you're saying?
I think things will be fine. It may take 6 or 7 games to win this, but I think it'll go.
You feel confident.
Yeah.
So. Why do you think the Islanders won? Did they work harder?
I think so. I think they came out faster than the Lightning and took them a little bit by surprise.
Yeah,
maybe.
Do you think the time off that the Lightning had might have had something to
sometimes
do with
it? Sometimes it can work against you, you know?
True.
The anticipation of wanting to get out there.
And finally, did they have a good crowd?
It was whatever they could pass.
15,000 or so,
close
right?
To 15, yeah.
Yeah, so capacity of that place is about 21, right?
Close to that, yes.
Okay.
And the Rays did win yesterday.
I was just going to say, the Rays have the best record in Major League Baseball, and we're talking about something else.
First one to 40 wins. First team to 40 wins. Now they're at 42 wins.
They're amazing. Grand Slam home run yesterday.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, get over to those drums, my friend. We're going to do the top 10 war states for military retirees. This is a study that ranks both the states for veterans covering 30 factors used for comparison, including how retirement-friendly each state was towards veterans, job opportunities that are available for veterans, and the quality of the hospitals. Should they need to go to the hospital? So here we are, top 10 worst. Number 10, Hawaii. Why would Hawaii be so tough on them? We got Pearl Harbor there. That's kind of, to me, was interesting.
Yeah, but unless you can surf and snorkel, that's probably not the place to go.
No, I guess you're right. Maybe that's true. Number 9, Indiana. That's another state. I would think veterans would be treated well and have good hospitals and the like in Indiana, but apparently not so much. Number 8, New York. Another one.
Oh, you blame that on Cuomo.
We're blaming everything else on him. Let's blame him. Number 7, Michigan. Can we blame Whitmer, the governor?
Sure, why not?
All right, we'll blame her for that one.
Did that whole water issue.
True. Are they trying to poison our vets? That's terrible. Terrible. All right. Number 6, the state of Washington. Well, everything else is going to hell in a handbasket there. Look what's going on in Seattle. That used to be a wonderful city. Mm. If I was a vet, I wouldn't want to live anywhere near Seattle.
No, I don't think anybody wants to live there.
No, you're right.
Okay. What a shame, too.
Oh, it's sad.
How could that go on? How does that go on? I don't understand.
I don't either.
And you look as like a third world country out there.
Blinded by their politics is all I can tell you about the citizens of Seattle. You would think that they would say, what? Yeah. Knowing how beautiful that city used to be. Number 5, Rhode Island. Well, who cares about Rhode Island? It's so small you can drive through it in 10 minutes anyway, right? We're just kidding for anybody that might be from Rhode Island. But apparently they don't treat their vets that well. Number 4, this one really surprised me, actually, Nevada. Why would Nevada not treat their be one of the worst places? Do you think it's because you go to the gambling casinos and throw your money away?
I don't see many vets want to retire out in Nevada. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. All right. Number 3. Of all places, the District of Columbia, where the heart of our government is, where you think that they would really take care of our vets, and yet it's the third worst place to retire. The third worst. Mm. That's an embarrassment, I think. Number 2. This little state, it's always on some list. I don't know why. All they make there is maple syrup. Vermont. Mm-hmm. Vermont doesn't treat their vets very well.
Looks like
well.
Most of the northern states are the places that...
Yeah. No, you're right. They have been so far.
I'll take number 1. I'll go with New Jersey.
Poor New Jersey. Poor New Jersey.
They're the other one that's on there. Vermont and New Jersey are up in the worst states for something.
Actually, New Jersey is not. It's another state out west. It's Oregon. It's Oregon that's the worst. Now, we know what's going on in Portland. It's like what's going on in Seattle. All hell is breaking loose.
All right.
But Oregon, of all places.
Wow.
I don't know why. The lumberjacks don't like vets? What's going on?
I don't know.
Scary. Listen, we want to thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow. All is well. But remember, freedom works.